With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Tomorrow, a gathering in Lac du Flambeau will honor the lost children and survivors of the residential boarding school system. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed talked to Lac du Flambeau officials about the tribe's history with the boarding school system.
This is the second year that Lac du Flambeau is hosting Orange Shirt Day. It's a day of truth and reconciliation for Native people in the United States and Canada, where residential boarding schools impacted generations of families. In Lac du Flambeau, there was a residential boarding school from 1895 to 1932. Children weren't allowed to speak their language, practice their traditions or culture, see their families, or go home. Nowadays, the tribe hosts culture, language, and traditional art classes in the same building where their relatives were forbidden from practicing those very same skills. Orange Shirt Day specifically honors Phyllis Webstead, whose favorite orange shirt was confiscated from her when she arrived at her boarding school in 1973 near Williams Lake in British Columbia, Canada, and was never returned. The day services as a reminder of the impact these institutions have on local communities. Lauren Abel is the project's coordinator at the tribe's Historic Preservation Office.
I think it's really important that people would learn it. And I wish there were more people that were open to learning it, the history of it.
On Thursday, the public is welcome to join the gathering from 4 to 6 p.m. in the Bingo Hall in Lac du Flambeau. They'll open with a blessing, drumming, and songs, then get into presentations on the meaning behind Orange Shirt Day. There's a potluck meal before everyone makes flags to place in front of the Tribal Historic Preservation Building, which used to be the residential boarding school. People are asked to wear an orange shirt. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed.
Wausau's absentee ballot drop box appeared and disappeared outside City Hall last weekend. Mayor Doug Denny said he was getting some work done when he noticed it wasn't bolted down and secured.
I guess I was dumbfounded that it wasn't, and we had already told residents that it would be. And, you know, it could have been lost for good. It could have been thrown in a river, like I said.
Denny said he would like to see more public input on the issue, though recent decisions have given authority over the boxes to local clerks.
Do citizens have a say in this? Citizens clearly told me as a senior elected official that they didn't want the drop box. So my inclination is to allow citizens to voice their opinion.
Denny says it's possible the issue could come to the council at some point. Wausau residents unhappy with Denny's action, like Kay Palmer, gathered in front of City Hall on Tuesday.
It's not within his purview or his in his job description to be that involved with the voting.
Nancy Stencil was also among those sharing their concerns.
And I feel it undermines our elections. It undermines the voters. It's not giving people a chance to have an accessible way of voting. It should be made easier, not being made more difficult.
Denny took a photo of himself wheeling the box to his office over the weekend, leading to sharp backlash from some on the city council, including Council President Lisa Rasmussen, who questioned the legality and ethics of the move. WAOW Television contributed to this story. Across the U.S., including in some of the nation's presidential swing states, new or recently altered state laws are changing how Americans will vote, tally ballots, and administer and certify November's election. It can be a challenge to keep track of these 11th-hour changes, especially since state election processes are already varying widely. Even more changes are looming in some states, with Election Day on November 5th just weeks away. In Wisconsin, the then-conservative majority state Supreme Court outlawed drop boxes in 2022, but a new liberal majority on the court made them legal again in July. Some communities opened them for the state's August primary, but more will be in use for November. Their use in Wisconsin is voluntary, and some conservative towns have opted against using drop boxes, citing security concerns. The state's two most heavily Democratic cities, Milwaukee and Madison, used them in August and will again in November. The man accused of shooting two rounds at a family as they were driving on Highway 51 will represent himself at trial. Mike Leishner reports.
Benny Green was found competent for trial on Tuesday, roughly 1 year after investigators say he tailgated the family's vehicle, then shot at them, injuring one person. He faces more than a dozen counts in connection with the incident and will do so with a standby attorney. Tuesday's hearing also saw the judge approve Green's request to serve as his own defender, with his former attorney on the sidelines if needed. He faces one count of attempted homicide. No trial dates have been set. Green returns to court on November 21st. Between now and then, he's jailed on a $500,000 bond.
That was Mike Leishner reporting. Michigan's most vulnerable communities are receiving federal funding to fight the devastating effects of climate change. Crystal Blair reports.
It's part of the $27 billion Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. This spring, Michigan was awarded $156 million to use as grants, which is the largest initiative of its kind in history. The goal is to strengthen the nation's economic competitiveness and advance energy independence, while at the same time reducing energy costs in historically underserved communities. Shalonda H. Baker, the University of Michigan's first provost for sustainability and climate action, points out the disparities in communities of color that this funding is poised to address.
Over half of Black households in America experiences energy insecurity, and around 47% of Latinx households experiences energy insecurity. We also know that there are many Native American households that simply lack access to electricity altogether.
The program is expected to create new jobs and clean energy, strongly focusing on building an inclusive workforce in disadvantaged areas. Communities like Southwest Detroit, known for facing environmental challenges, is expected to benefit from the grant. Crystal Blair reporting.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.